Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Jake Volnick with you guys back here on Overtime. Of course, coming up in an hour's time, we're going to get a grip as we always do at 9 o'clock. But right now, let's head out to the fan hotline. It covers the team for Cleveland.com. Joins us every single Friday at 8. It's Coach Riz, Lance Reisling. Coach, what's going on?
Hey, Jake, what's going on, my friend?
I mean, listen, after last week, I'm just looking for any win here. I didn't think it was going to go as bad as it did, but things went south, and hey, we've certainly transitioned from, hey, you know, the offense almost beat Cincinnati to a pretty much a full reset, it feels like, coming into week three.
Well, I would say this. As a coach, there's two different ways to look at it. So sometimes you just go against a team that physically dominates you, and they scheme it better, and they have better players, and the matchups are terrible. I don't feel that happened with the Browns last week. I feel like they shot themselves in the foot. Now, obviously, the Ravens, they have Lamar Jackson. They did some good things. But if you think about the punt return, you know, the punt return, the punt block, the interception, you know, all those things kind of added up. And so, you know, with going at, like, at the end of the third quarter, it was 20-10, and they're in the football game. So as a coach, you go in and say, you know, if you play a cleaner game, it doesn't mean you're going to win. But at least you know, because if you play a clean game and you lose, it's because the other team's better. And you can accept that. You can't accept when you beat yourself.
All right, so take me through here going into week three. We got the Packers obviously coming up on Sunday, Lance. Do you see a legitimate path to the Browns getting a win in this game?
Well, yeah, and I think it started, you know, I said this to you before, but I think it's the defense. The defense has faced two really good offenses. This offense is good. LaFleur, I think, is an outstanding coordinator, but they got some guys out. Watson's out, Reed's out. Tom, he's got an oblique kind of injury. Kraft, who I had, he was one of my keys to stop earlier in the week. He's kind of banged up, so you don't know how he's going to be. So this Browns defense, I think, has an opportunity to not only play very well, but maybe set that offense up with a short field and maybe create a turnover. And obviously that's how it's going to be against these elite teams until this offense gets going. I also think Junkins is going to be, after a full week of practice, should be a little bit better. I think those, you know, for me, it's going to be, I'm going to be watching those tackles. Those tackles really struggled the first 2 weeks. That's where they got to improve on offense. But I do. I think the defense can really create some short fields for this offense. And obviously, they got to punt it well. They got to play better special teams as well. But yeah, this is not an impossible thing. The problem is that Packer defense is really, really good.
They certainly are. I want to focus on a second here. You bring up the Browns defense and creating short fields for the offense. So help me break this down, Lance. The team right now has come up with zero turnovers, and they've obviously been really good when it comes to stopping the run, holding teams to short yardage, keeping points off the board for the most part there up until the end of the Ravens game. But they have zero turnovers through two games. They created just four interceptions last year. Is this something where you look at a defense and you say, okay, they've been good and the turnovers part's just unlucky? Or is there something they could be doing differently to help, you know, maximize those opportunities and help the offense by creating a takeaway or a turnover?
Well, you know, the hard thing is, Jake, is that when they're in so much man coverage, you know, when you're in man coverage, that's one of the tells for a quarterback, because the eyes would normally be on the receiver. And how you get some interceptions is you play through the receiver, but your eyes are in the backfield because you're in zone. And when you're in zone, you can keep things underneath you so you can get bad throws and things like that. So them being in so much man coverage, it's hard for those corners to get interceptions. It just really is. The guy that's got to make those interceptions is that free safety. He's got to be a little bit more active left to right, because he's basically a center fielder, especially in passing situations. So it is really hard to create turnovers. I think the turnovers come from the Browns are strip sacks, tips inside, things like that, because being in man, they're never going to be able to, those corners are going to be locked in. So when the ball is underthrown, they won't know because they're in zone. I mean, they're in man coverage. If they were in zone, they can get some of those. So maybe that's because they're struggling and they're struggling with some depth there. Maybe they play a little bit more zone or man where they're off a little bit and they can still get their eyes in the backfield. But it's not, it's a product of, you know, you can't have everything as a defense. That's one area that they need to improve on just because that offense is struggling so bad. So that's my thing. I've said that all week. It's really hard to create turnovers in man, but they're going to have to figure that out because they need some short fields.
Okay, so let's go to the offense. You highlighted the Packers' defense. They've been really good against the run so far early in these first 2 weeks. Do the Browns, do they essentially need to just overcome that and get the run game started this week? And do you think they can do it with Judkins with a full week of practice?
Well, I do, you know, and the best way to stop Parsons is elite, but the guy who really causes problems for an offensive coordinator is Rashawn Gary because he's 280 pounds. You could, Micah Parsons, you're going to do a ton of chipping. I think they're going to run right at him because that's the way you slow down an elite pass rusher who's, you know, 250-ish pounds. So not that he won't make plays, but you got to body punch those elite pass rushers who aren't real heavy. Rashawn Gary's the guy that gives you problems because he's 280 plus. So now he can play the run. He can play inside. He can play outside. So they have two of those guys. Then they have Quay Walker, who I think is a highly underrated linebacker. He's 240 pounds. He's 6'3". And then this corner, Nixon. So he's a guy, he's playing at a really, really high level. But the thing that they do, they don't, besides Parsons and Gary, everybody else is really solid. So they don't have a lot of holes. So the Browns have to play at a high level. I'd like to see the Browns kind of simplify a little bit and try to create, make sure everybody's, you know, they're missing too many blocks. They're having too many run throughs, and that's just because there's lots of motion and lots of movement. I think they need to simplify. I think they need to go really rely on the run game. And even if the run game isn't working, you got to shorten the game. You have to punt it well. You know, it doesn't hurt you to run the ball on third down and then punt it on fourth down. Do everything you can not to turn the ball over. Cause like you said, you look at last week, those turnovers are what turned that game. And that's what, you know, that's what they need to create. But if you cannot turn it over, you can be in the game because this defense can't control, I believe, can't control the Packer offense. However, it's going to be a dogfight. And the one thing they can't do is turn it over and turn it over early, or they could get boat raced because that's how football works, especially with momentum.
Lance Reisland, Coach Riz with us here on the hotline. Hey, if they're able to flip things around, is there almost a moral victory in the offense just looking good this week, even if they don't get a win?
No, I'm an anti-moral victory guy. These guys are pros. These tackles got to play better. You know, they're doing some things like, once again, if you get beat, I'm okay with it. Free runners, I don't like, you know, guys who are unblocked, things like that. Those things bother you as an offense coordinator. If Micah Parsons just beat you, but you have him accounted for, it's not great. But as a coach, you go, listen, we had a plan for him. He was just better. So that's, you know, I'm not a moral victory guy. Now, the operation's been good. They've done some good things. I think offensively, if they can run the ball a little bit better, it will at least shorten the game and limit the amount of touches that offense can get. And then your defense, which is your strength, comes out there fresh. Too many three and outs right now. So they got to extend some drives, 6-8 plays. Even if they punt it, they got to give that defense some rest. But to answer your question, no, moral victories don't do anything. Now, you learn from them, but they don't do anything for me in terms of winning or losing. You got to win, and that's the bottom line. It's, you got to figure out a way to win, whatever you got to do.
Now, you're giving me the Kevin Stefanski, you got to protect the football, which obviously is a Herculean task, but it seems so simple when you say it. Hey, we've seen the offense sort of struggle with the short stuff, not have explosive plays. They have one run over 10 yards at this point, two games in. Does there need to be almost, I don't want to say an uncorking of Joe Flacco, because it sounds like you're just letting him go buck wild, but do they need to try to extend the field and go down the field?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Field more with the pass game.
Well, you know, in this offense, that happens with run game because those safeties, now you're going to get a safety down in the box. They're going to crowd the line of scrimmage more because they have to stop the run. When you don't do that, you can play two safeties. It's hard to take shots over top because they're going to keep those guys in front of you. So it really does start with the run game, even if you're not super successful, because you have to take some body punches. Now, there's a fine line with Joe Flacco. If he, you know, letting him loose, he will create some plays. There's no doubt about it. He always has. But we've seen with Joe Flacco, if you let him loose, there's probably a good probability that he's going to intercept the ball as well. He throws some interceptions. And that just puts that defense at such a, you know, I think you got to play it close to the best. That's me as a coach. You know, going back to like, how does this happen? Well, it happens by winning on first down, because if you can make the defense respect run or pass, That's how you limit turnovers. When you get to passing situations only, now you start seeing those exotic fronts, the blitzes, the coverages. That's when quarterbacks make mistakes. So you have to win on first down, or at least be a little bit more successful, so there's a hint of the run on second down. So that's where they're at. They have to win on first down because that will help stretch the field, and that will also protect the football.
Would it have been too much of a panic move for you if they considered going to Dylan Gabriel in week three?
Absolutely. I think the progression they're doing with those guys, even watching them every day during camp, I think they have a plan and I think they're sticking to it. And whether we like the plan or not, that's okay with me, as long as they're sticking with what they thought was going to work. That's why they're the coaches and the GM. So whatever they decided. But yes, I absolutely think that would be a panic move, especially against a defense like this week. Now, once again, I'm not a real big believer in playing a guy because, you know, you want to take a look at him. That loses a locker room really, really fast. That's when you talk about culture. You're not in the business of developing, you know, during the season. You're in the business of winning football games. And I know that's really tough for the Browns now because they have to see these guys. But the number one priority to keep that locker room interested is that everything's got to be, you know, kind of pointed towards winning. And I think with Flacco right now, you know, watching him every day, he was better than those guys. So if those guys get to the point where they're as good, then yes, they probably should get a look, especially if they're losing. But if they're not there yet, I don't think they play until they're there. I don't think they play because you need to take a look at them.
Again, Coach Riz, Lance Risen with us here on the hotline. Let's take a look at the offensive line, Coach. I want to start with really just the tackles. I want to start at left tackle, though, with DeJuan Jones. Last week, he gets taken off the field multiple times for what now throughout the week. DeJuan told us was basically precautionary with the heat for a guy that's dealt with heat issues going back to training camp and having to get carted off the field. Is it fair to take a guy at this level off the field as a precautionary to you, or is this signed a sort of your left tackle should be out there until something actually shows up and then you should move on from there?
Well, you know, if it's a smoke screen, then you want him out there. If it's not, if he's having some heat issues, then obviously you got to take care of his health first. But you'll really never know, like, what was the actual, was he having heat, or he didn't play well for week one. So is that the issue too, where they want to get a look at somebody else? You don't really know. And obviously moving forward, then he has to get himself in shape where the heat doesn't bother him. And, you know, as a pro, that's what you should be doing all day: what you eat, how you carry yourself, the amount of liquid you get, you know, your hydration level 2 to 48 hours before the game, or 2 days out kind of deal. So there's a lot he has to do, which I'm assuming he's doing, but those tackles have to play better, and they have to know who they're blocking. They're not getting to the second level. They're not getting off on double teams. They're not getting to the linebackers when they're getting off those double teams. They have to bend better. He lost weight, but it almost has hurt him because he's a great athlete and he used his size. Now he's not, for some reason, he's not bending real well as he gets to the second level. Whatever the issue was, they got to put it in the past and they got to move forward. And he's got to be more physical, as well as the other tackle, Lucas, for these guys to have a chance and to run the football.
When does Jack Conklin's health become a concern with him even moving forward with this team, period? It feels like Jack's basically feels like he gets hurt every sort of year for a period of time. And we're already at, you know, a fear of missing him for 2 weeks this early in the season.
Well, he didn't look good. A couple clips I saw the other day, he did not look good. And a couple people I talked to said he didn't look real healthy. You know, the problem is for Jack, in my opinion, is he's a very physical guy. And he kind of matches the mentality of those three interior guys where he's real tough. He's really big on contact. And with that, you get a lot of, it seems like as he's gotten a little bit older, you know, his toughness and his willingness to get in the mix and his willingness to be physical with defensive linemen kind of hurts him as he's gotten older. So it's a concern because, first of all, he's a really good player, but his style of play is what the Browns like. But it's just, it seems as he's, you know, extended his career here, that physicality is kind of beating him down a little bit, right? Again, like body punches, you know, he's unable to get healthy. And I don't think he can play any other way because, you know, if he plays any other way, he'll be unsuccessful. So yeah, it is a concern. His age is a concern. And just the idea of that physicality day in and day out makes it really worrisome that he can not only come back, but can he consistently be in there for week in and week out? Cause that's what's killing these guys, the continuity.
All right, Lance, I'm going to get you one more before we get you out of here. I do want to take a little look at the special teams after last week. Bubba Ventrone has gotten a lot of praise across the league, obviously internally with the Browns across his tenure. But how fair is it now of him to be catching flack? And is it right for the Browns to be looking internally and asking Bubba to be making corrections and doing better given the fact of the return game didn't look great? You had the punt block. The kicking situation has been a struggle. I mean, it feels like the only real highlight we've gotten, even you look multiple years out, has been Corey Bohorquez.
Well, yeah, you know, obviously you're the coach, right? And you're in charge of special teams. That's what comes with being, you know, the assistant head coach. You know, you're getting paid that way. And he's in charge of the third phase, which is, you know, a third of the game. And for me, the kickers are always doing their own thing. I'll never put on a coach with kickers, but the thing that bothered me last week is they punted it well last week and they made all their kicks and they played terribly on special teams. And if you look at like the punt block, it was the idea that, you know, Hickman had to block a bigger guy. I'm not sure if schematically that's the right thing to do. We've all been there where you get, you know, the other coaches do a good job too. But then fundamentally, he kind of took the guy in with a shoulder and didn't take him on square. So they've had issues with like squeezing lanes and being, you know, not being fundamentally sound, and their techniques haven't been exactly what he wants them to be. Now, is it because they're coaching it and they're not getting it, or are they not getting coached? And there's a big difference there. And obviously as the weeks go along, if you see the same mistake over and over, you know, who is that on? And if it's on a player, then you got to get a new player in there. So obviously they're going to have to scheme things up. They're going to have to use some bigger guys. If teams are going to bring heavy guys on punt block, and just the idea that they're losing that phase. So usually that phase is kind of like a wash between teams. They're losing that now. So they're losing on offense, they're losing on special teams, and they're absolutely dominating it on defense. But you lose two or three phases and you lose the ball game.
Lance, always good to talk to you. Obviously looking forward to listening to you and getting leading up into you coming up on Sunday, as you'll be alongside JP, 10 o'clock until kickoff on the Browns tailgate show right here on The Fan. But always good to talk to you, and we appreciate you.
Absolutely, Jake. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Lance Reisling, Cleveland.com, with us there on The Fan Hotline. We'll react to what Lance had to say coming back, as well as get to your calls at 216-474-0092. It's Jake Valdik with you guys on Overtime right here on The Fan.
This Browns defense, I think, has an opportunity to not only play very well, but maybe set that offense up with a short field and maybe create a turnover. And obviously that's how it's going to be against these elite teams until this offense gets going. I also think Junkins is going to be, after a full week of practice, should be a little bit better. I think those, you know, for me, it's going to be, I'm going to be watching those tackles. Those tackles really struggled the first 2 weeks. That's where they got to improve on offense. But I do. I think the defense can really create some short fields for this offense. And obviously they got to punt it well. They got to play better special teams as well. But yeah, this is not an impossible thing. The problem is that Packer defense is really, really good.
Lance Reisling, Cleveland.com, with us here. Last segment on whether or not the Browns actually have a path to victory against the Packers, which is exactly what I want to ask you guys at 216-474-0092. Are the Browns capable of winning on Sunday? I told you Lance was going to be optimistic. I told you it was going to happen, okay? It felt like it was almost a guarantee that Lance was going to come back and tell me, of course there's a path to victory, right? Listen, he is a former coach. He's always looking for ways that he can get a win, and I appreciate that from him. I just, a lot of what he laid out there, it's like, okay, I'm looking at the defensive, or excuse me, the offensive line. I'm looking at the defense to show up, and I'm looking at the run game. It's like, okay, defense, check. Box check. If you can shut down a good chunk of the Ravens offense before, you know, Denzel Ward ended up going down with cramps, they were fine against the Ravens defense. They held them to 10 points in the first half. Derrick Henry was a non-factor. And you shut down the Bengals offense. I have no doubt you can shut down the Packers offense. Okay, you know, obviously, again, good team. Jordan Love looks like a good quarterback this year. Josh Jacobs is obviously exceptional. But I trust that if this defense can shut down the two teams they did the last 2 weeks, and also shut down the Packers. Problem is offensive line and run game. Where does that come in? Like, I just don't know that I have a ton of faith in that right now. Now, there's upside. Like, again, we mentioned it, Quinshon Judkins being back and actually having a full practice week. I hope he's a bell cow back this week. I hope that he gives you something this week that's a little bit more than what he could, you know, against week two against the Ravens. Somehow, some way, the one thing that I thought I was going to be able to be relatively confident in this team coming into the year was the offensive line. But like I had some degree of confidence because you're going back to the Stefanski scheme. The entire line will tell you, hey, this is what we want to run. And you got out from, you know, budget Bob Ross. Andy Dickerson is your offensive line coach. Mike Vrabel had to take over the group halfway through last year. We got back to, okay, it's a Callahan disciple and Mike Bloomgren. This should be working. And yet it's not. Like, DeJuan Jones struggling to stay on the field. And I mean, in week one, he was horrible. Week two, he wasn't great. Jack Conklin's hurt. Cornelius Lucas didn't look amazing. I'm just sitting here trying to find how that group actually improves and gets better. It's like you have one of the toughest tasks that you had for the entire year already. Again, fine defensive front for the Bengals. I would say good defensive front for the Ravens. This is probably the best, you know, front four that you've faced all year. I mean, it's a toss-up between them and the Ravens, but Rashawn Gary's going to get after the passer. Micah Parsons is going to get after the passer. And Micah Parsons has already shown that, you know, he can go and decimate a Browns offensive line. He showed that in week one of last year when he was a Cowboy. He had a field day against the Browns. So it's like, I don't even have confidence you're going to be able to stop Micah. Lance has given me even less confidence that there's going to be a plan for Rashawn Gary. He's like, Micah, you can slow Micah down, right? Like, he's going to have some plays where I'm sure he wins, but he's 250 pounds. You run the ball at him. You wear him down. You should be able to tire out Micah in this offense. Rashawn Gary's the problem. He's 280-pound, you know, basically edge that just wreaks havoc on the quarterback. And I got fear that, I mean, I already knew Rashawn Gary could after the passer. I got more fear that Rashawn Gary's going to cause real issues. I don't know how you get better this week, especially when I'm sitting here and I haven't seen Joel Bitonio practice all week, right? Which him not practicing doesn't necessarily scare me. The fact that he's carrying an injury designation scares me a little bit. And I don't know if Jack Conklin's going to play. Lance was also not confident that Jack Conklin was going to be healthy by Sunday. You might be back to Cornelius Lucas. Like, I don't know how this offensive line is going to fire themselves up and actually go hit the blocks. I like Lance's idea that, you know, you take the run game and you make it simple. You just dumb it down, stop all of the motion, stop all of pulling and getting guys in and trying to make sure they hit the right blocks and have to explode through a hole before Quinshon or another back does. Simplify it. Run the game. I like that. I just don't think that's what the Browns are going to do. Like, Kevin Stefanski, being the offensive mind that he is, I don't see him going simpler. Even though, to some degree, it feels like that's what you have to do for this offense line, is just dumb it down, right? Like, you have to make sure that they can block the guy in front of them, hit their assignment, and then if they get beat, they get beat. And at that point, you're just asking them to be better. Right now, it's like, okay, you can't even run the offense. I can't even do what I necessarily want to because you guys aren't living up and doing your job. But, I mean, what? Nick, in a roundabout way on Afternoon Drive today, said that he was guaranteeing a Browns win. I'm so far away from that, it's not even close. Like, I will pretty much, I'll go exact opposite of Nick. As much as nobody wants to hear it, I'll guarantee you a Browns loss. Like, I don't think they're winning this game. Outside of any given Sunday, and they're capable of doing it, I don't know how you just convince yourself of a win in this game. And that's the prediction. The prediction's the Packers win the game. I think they can make it close. I think they can be competitive. I don't think there's a win buried into this one. The Packers have looked like I mean, arguably the best team in the NFL through the first 2 weeks of the season. I can't imagine that the Browns are going to be the thing that stifles them. And it's not like it's been on the back of the offense. The offense has looked fine. The defense has carried them through. So it's elite defense versus elite defense. Which offense comes out better on that? I could give you a real good indication on who that's going to be. I'll take the Jordan Love as the quarterback, Josh Jacobs as the running back, instead of the putrid offense that we just watched played out against the Ravens. I have to. Jax, you give him a chance to win in week 2? Or week 3 here against the Packers?
They got a shot.
Outside of it's any given Sunday and it's the NFL, they got a shot?
I think home field helps a little bit.
Should have helped against
the Bengals. And everybody's on the Packers, so.
That's what's throwing you off? Everybody is on one team?
I mean, this is just kind of how this goes, you know? Like, we saw a lot, like, the Dolphins played the Bills very close yesterday. Like, Tua ended up throwing the game away, which he does pretty often, but...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
But everybody thought the Bills were just going to smoke them, and they didn't. And that game was in Buffalo. So, I mean, I expect the Browns to at least keep this close. Like, I don't think it's going to be a blowout how everybody thinks it's going to be. But I definitely lean towards the Packers winning, yeah.
Yeah, like, I agree with you in the fact of, like, I don't think this game ends up being a blowout. Again, I don't think the Week 2 game should have been a blowout. Like, yeah, you kept it close. Up until the fourth quarter where things just absolutely derailed and it was like a car wreck that you couldn't look away from. Although I'm sure a lot of people did actually look away. I'm sure a lot of people were like, okay, that's enough. Turn this one off. What else do we got in the 1 o'clock set? But like, I don't know. There's something about it. It's, I can see the game being close, but when I sit here and I draw it, I'm like, okay, well, to beat the Packers, you have to stop the offense. You have to hold them to, you know, basically a game against the Bengals. It's a very similar game style or game plan here. But then the offense has to be good enough. The offense was sort of, but not really good enough to take down the Bengals. That defense is awful. And you still didn't typically do enough. Like, yeah, you still should have done more. There still should have been a better path to victory there. And there just wasn't. So, like, I don't know how I'm going to expect you to do it against one of the better defenses. Like, if I put the Packers and the Ravens on a similar level when it comes to defense, that Browns team should have scored 3 points. There should have been 3 points on the board for week 2. I mean, you got blessed. Marlon Humphrey should have came away with an interception, and Cedric Tillman was just holding the ball in the corner of the end zone. I mean, it was absolutely immaculate. I was like, that should never happen. You should have never scored a touchdown in that game. You got one while the Ravens let off the gas, and you got one that was a complete fluke. Wonder and a mystery on how it actually happens. Shouldn't have scored. I don't know how you get the offense to be good enough against the Packers. 216-474-0092. Are the Browns capable of winning on Sunday as well? And maybe they don't have to actually raise hopes and spirits. It's all coming your way in 5 minutes. We'll get to your phone calls right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. You can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, including The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima live from 6 to 10 a.m. Subscribe to our channel for free and watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan each and every weekday. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Coming your way in about 17 minutes, we are going to get to Get a Grip, as we always do, at 9 o'clock. But I'm asking you guys right now, 216-474-0092. Are the Browns actually capable of winning on Sunday? Do you give them a legitimate chance? I want to get some of you guys in on this, so let's go out to the phones. LaVon is in Cleveland. What's going on, LaVon?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's going on, man? What do we got?
I got good news for the Browns. They can win this game if they go with the game plan of everything got to go through Myles Garrett. You got to give Myles Garrett a chance to make some big plays. That game against Baltimore, I would have pulled Joe Flacco out and put Gabriel in because he made a touchdown in 2 minutes, and he made a touchdown. But let's get back to how to beat Green Bay. You have to go through Myles Garrett, and you have to make sure our kicker is on point, and our cornerback have to hold down the receivers, and we must make big plays on the defense as far as takeaways, and everything will be all right if they go with that plan. You got to take Joe Flacco out because he can't play. You got to stick Gabriel in because we could have won that game. We should be 1-1, but it goes on, and the Browns must make some big changes, and you might get through a big win in Green Bay if Myles Garrett has a good day.
I'm hoping you're right, LaVon, and I appreciate the call.
Stay off the damn weed.
Well, now what'd you do that for?
Gabriel is not beating the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, no, that's fair.
Not beating that's the fair. Green no. Bay Packers.
Okay, also, wait, hold on. I'm so confused. Wait, okay, well, I never said he'd beat the Packers. LaVon did. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
yeah.
But where were they going to pull Joe other than where they did? Like after the interception? They were down 20-10 heading into the third quarter, or heading into the fourth quarter, excuse me, out of the third quarter. Like, you're going to give that to Joe. Like, he hadn't looked great, but what do you mean? You're going to be like, ah, let's just throw Dillon in there down 10. Like, I don't think you're going to do that. And it'll be the same case this week. I mean, I think you have more of a case to see Dillon Gabriel earlier in the game if they, you know, before things get necessarily crazy out of hand, but I still don't think they would. Still think you'd stick with Joe. Also, kicker to make kicks. Jax, you got a kicker in mind right now? Because Andre Schmidt felt a pop in his calf, and I don't feel great about that.
I mean, there's definitely kickers out there, but might as well just have like Joel Batonio go out there and kick the thing.
Yeah,
just like, go for two.
I mean, out of guys that are available, like Cade York's out there. I think you guys want to go back to Cade York?
I'm okay.
No, you don't want to go back to Cade York. Like I don't know who else there is really that you can go and get. I don't know who they're going to sign if Andre Schmidt can't go, but. Yeah, not a ton of great options. I think Joey Sly's available. Joey Sly had a...
Fine, bring him in.
It can't be any worse, right? I mean, Andre Schmidt had a good week, but, like, I don't know who else is available that... Or, like, any name you throw out to me at this point, I'm like, okay, all right, bring him in. Let him kick the ball. It's fine. But, again, like, I just don't know. You can draw me a path. Like, Myles Garrett, that LaVon had led to, like, yes, Myles has to have a really good day. I would honestly argue... Like, stopping the run is very important, so I'm probably looking actually to the interior defense as well.
Does he have to have a... He's had two great days.
And it hasn't mattered.
And that hasn't mattered at all.
Okay, but if he doesn't have a great day, it might just be worse. Like, it might be even worse. Like, I do think that Myles has to play a big impact in this game. Like, that you have to get after Jordan Love. Problem is, everything... Like, the Packers run a very similar offense to what the Browns run, right? It's heavily predicated on the run, heavily predicated on play action... So you got to be able to stop the run at the forefront of it. It's problem is Josh Jacobs is a really good running back.
Packers, all the receivers are
good. The word is good.
I think they're good. I think they're okay.
Yeah, like I mean, those are like synonymous like, in
so
my
if
head.
You stop the run, like I feel like you have a very good shot at.
Yeah, but Jordan Love can spread the ball, and somehow Romeo Doubs so far through the first 2 weeks has looked like he's a wide receiver one, even though we all know that he's not.
If Denzel Ward is out there, like I have no worries about Romeo Dobbs.
That's fine. Okay, Romeo Doubs is stopped. Now Dontavian Wicks is all of a sudden a god. Like this is what Jordan Love does. And if it's not a Dontavian Wicks, it'll be Matthew Golden or it'll be Malik Heath.
No, for what the people in that front office think of Greg Newsom, Dontavian Wicks should be no problem for Greg Newsom.
Shouldn't be a problem.
No.
He played really well week one. Didn't play. He played okay week two, but he got burned a couple of times.
That's what I'm saying. The people in the front office think if Greg Newsom is really that guy, we shouldn't be worried about Dontavian Wicks. I mean.
Like, we draw such a big emphasis on the defense, which obviously is important in this game, right? Like, it's huge that the defense shows up. It's almost like it kind of a wash for me. Like, okay, the defense shows up. I know the Packers defense is showing up. Like, that's nothing to me. It's like, can the offense actually break through enough? Like, the defense is, they're so far, like, out of mind right now because I just look at them, I'm like, okay, they're going to do their job. Like, they'll do enough. right? And until you put them in terrible situations where you have drives starting, you know, multiple drives in Browns territory and a defensive touchdown from the Ravens. It's like, okay, they did everything you could have possibly asked from them. It's when you set them up on a short field, they have to constantly be on the field and constantly out there left and right running 80% of the snaps in the game. That's when things go south. Like, okay, but when they're not, the defense is great. Right? They live up to expectations. When Denzel Ward's out there, they live up to expectations. I just need to see what the offense can do. And right now, I don't know that they can do enough. I don't know that this game necessarily is all about just like getting a win, though. But like, there's a lot of room when we talk about this for me that is between Browns win the game and I'm utterly disappointed in the result. Like, I think that if you show me improvement on the offense, if Quinshon Judkins looks good and the offense just finds a way to look competent, like, that's enough for me. Like, I think there is a win in that. Obviously, like, nobody on the team's going to tell you that. They're going to be disappointed when it, I almost said when, I'll say if they fall to 0-3. Pretty much can use either one there. But, like, if they fall to 0-3, the team's going to be disappointed nonetheless. They're going to say that they didn't do enough. They're going to say that it wasn't good enough. But, like, the way that I look at it, if I watch this game and I see the Browns offense improve and show dramatic improvements and they're completing pass against a good defense, the run game shows up, the offensive line shows up, like, that's enough for me. And it doesn't have to be all three of those things. If the offensive line just straight up plays better and actually looks like they can protect Joe, they give him time, and they could actually, you know, open up holes for a run game, that's enough to make me want to come back and watch them play the Lions. It's like, okay, because that is the starting point for me. As soon as the offensive line play improves, everything else can follow in after it. It doesn't just have to be, oh, well, they lost and this is terrible. I hate to use the term, and I think the guys in the morning used it. I don't want to call it a moral victory because I don't think there really is. I don't even think it is a moral victory. It's not like, oh, well, at least we looked good today. It's trying to build on what is already a complete garbage to start the year. Like, when you're at the bottom of the barrel, the pathway up is just improvement. You just have to start to look better. You have to build on everything you did the week prior. And right now, I haven't really done that. So I need you to start taking steps. The problem where this flatlines and it bottoms out and the Browns are unwatchable for the season is when the offense shows no improvement, right? When they don't take steps forward. So if you continue just to show me that, okay, well, yeah, then I have no faith. Then there's no reason to even watch these games because they're going to lose or they're going to be the bad team and there's going to be, you know, four wins at the end of the season. It's going to be all for naught. I do still think there's something here, even when you're talking about, yes, 2025 and going forward, that you need to show that this offense can be competent. You need to show that they can make improvements. They can make adjustments from week to week. Hey, they can actually, you know, execute a game plan. This is, as much as we don't want it to be, and I think a lot of people coming into the year didn't want it to be, it's a rebuilding year, right? It's a see what we have year, and it's a year where you look at a lot of young players and you're making decisions on, okay, is this person going to be a part of the future? But it's about getting better. It's about setting up culture. It's about setting up a team that shows and that they can believe in themselves, that they can actually win games and not just default back to everything they did in 2024. You have to show that you can climb out of that. And right now they have yet to do so. Right? They haven't shown me that they can continue to fight. They have not been mentally resilient. That was something that Lance harped on last week. They have not shown resiliency from a mental aspect to go back out there, and when they get punched, to get right back up. That's what I need to see. I need to see them get back up and actually, you know, go out and show that the offense can do something. Show that, you know, the practices in during the week here, where you're practicing, you know, Tuesday through Friday, isn't just you sitting there running through the motions and being like, oh, we still suck. Show that you're working on something. Show that something is getting better. Because from week one to week two, I did not see any improvements on the offense. Aside from, yes, they got killed in week two and it was bad. I did not see a legitimate improvement on the offense. It looked like they took their week one game plan and went, do it again. Try it again. Let's add no wrinkles. Let's add nothing. Let's not see if these players can actually improve from their week one performance. It was just, well, that almost worked. Let's see if we can do it and just repeat it. You got to build on it. Yeah, there has to be improvement from play. It just looked like everybody was out there doing the exact same thing they'd done the week before, and you got exposed by a better defense, right? Even though you weren't great in week one, the upgrade on the defensive side from the Ravens kind of killed you. But I think there's so much to this game that is just outside the win column for the Browns. You can lose this and absolutely reel me back in to some semblance of faith in what I actually think the team can accomplish. Like, you take into account how great the Packers defense has been. Again, you show competency. You show a competitive football game in this one. That's something to me. Like, hey, that is absolutely something. I can look at that and go, okay, when I play the Lions next week, offense should be able to function. They should be able to go out there and look even better than they did against the Packers. Lions defense isn't that great. You should be able to accomplish something. So I think there's so much to look forward to in this week, but it's not going to be a Browns win. That's not what I'm looking at. But I think you have a victory outside of the actual win column. If the offense improves, there's a reason to have faith and to have trust in the team to actually do something. 216-474-0092. Is it enough for the Browns to just look competitive, or do they actually need to win this game? Can they start 0-3 and keep you entertained and keep you reeled into the season? We're also going to get to Get a Grip, as we always do, at 9 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.